Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with singer, dancer, actor, guitar player, piano player, Joe Casey. Joe is currently part of the ensemble cast of the cabaret Blue Suede Shoes at Florida Studio Theater. And when you see Blue Suede Shoes, you see Joe doing mostly Elvis's biggest hits. Joe's story is somewhat unusual. A boy who was interested in everything. He wanted to be a scientist. He wanted to be a detective. He was a painter. He was a writer. He played the instruments, which he just picked up. And then he finally decided that since there was so much he wanted to do, one of the things he could do was be an actor. And as an actor, he could play all of these various roles that intrigued him. So this is a really interesting story told by a really charming man. Hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down you dive, where the child's gone to survive, finding wisdom's other words. Oh, you really can. And it's always there, like a silent hug from nowhere, sitting in my own soft lap, with all the time for us to chat, and my resources all on tap. Oh,
hello, and welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are. Not the person that you think you have to be. Not the person other people are. Not the person somebody told you you needed to be, or even the person someone told you you were. Not even the person you may currently think you are, but the person you really are. So how can you be someone that you don't know you are? Well, unfortunately, this happens to lots of us. In childhood, something about us brings a consequence that is intolerable. We're teased or embarrassed or criticized or punished or even sometimes abused because of the way we smile or laugh or something that we're interested in, or some behavior or interest or curiosity, brings, as I said, a consequence that's too painful. And when that happens, we learn how to pretend that this thing about us is not true. And if we get good enough at pretending, then we can come into adulthood having forgotten that this thing which is true of us is actually there. So the Lin Show is about saying, if this happened to you, it may not be too late to recover what you were forced to abandon. And if you want to talk to me about that, you can talk to me by going up to my website, thelinshow.com, thelinnesshow. Don't leave the E out of Lin. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And in this show, listening to Joe Casey is an example of someone who actually knows who he is and pursues it relentlessly. It's a lovely story. So here now is Joe Casey. Okay, so yeah. I'm here with Joe Casey.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm explaining to Joe that I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. You're nodding your head.
Which is a beautiful way to make a living. Well, not an easy way to make a living, but...
No, that's true. That's absolutely true. And so I'm assuming that the art to which you are giving your life and perhaps making your living is the art of acting, singing, dancing, performing...
Well, all of the above. I will say I always consider myself an actor first and foremost.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But I've always sung. I think it's a... I'm from a musical family. I'm the youngest of eight, so uh-huh. We were all kind of musical. My father had a great voice, so I think I kind of inherited that.
Well, all right. Him. Okay, you're speaking to my question. I only have one question. And it is, can you remember and can you tell me the very first time in your life when singing, dancing, acting, pretending, mm-hmm. any of that called you, seemed interesting?
Yeah. I will say, I mean, being the youngest of eight, I was kind of like a solitary kid. Like, I remember just like, because we had like acres of woods in the back of our house. And I would just go there for like hours. I can't imagine children doing that now. But yeah, like my parents were like, yeah, just go play, whatever, for hours. And I don't know, maybe like the creative spirit like hit me then. I remember as a child wanting to do a lot of things, different things. Like I was always interested in science. So I was like, maybe science would be a way to go. Or I mean, even like I was an artist too. I work in oil paint. And I was like, maybe that. But then I thought, well, being an actor, you can be all of those things. You can portray all of those things. And I was a big TV buff growing up and still am. So I was just, I'm gonna do that. And then I can do all these things that I want to do. And
okay, wait. When was the first time you were on stage?
I think it was like, it may have even been like second grade. I think there was like a Christmas play.
Yeah.
Like I had the lead in that. I can barely remember it, but I think it was almost positive it was second grade and it was Christmas.
So what is that, seven, eight?
Is that six? I'm awful with ages.
Okay, never mind. Something like that.
Yeah,
very young.
Yeah.
And you still remember it even if you don't remember it well.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So and after that?
Yeah, it just kind of continued.
What does that mean?
I mean, in high school, of course.
So that's a big leap from second grade to high school.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, in grammar school, there isn't a lot. They don't like have a theater program or I don't even think we put on any other plays. I don't know what this thing in second grade was that we did, but I can't remember anything else.
Okay, were you singing then?
Yeah.
Just to yourself?
Yeah, basically. There may have been a choir. My sister started a folk choir in our church for a few years. So, yeah, I mean...
How old were you then?
Probably around that same age. It was, or a little older. Yeah, because she must have been in... She was probably in high school. She's a few years older than me. So...
Okay, you said you had a very musical family. Did they sing? Did you all sing together or they didn't sing together?
Not in a formal sense, Partridge Family or
the Von Trapps or something like that.
No, but I mean, there was always a piano in the house growing up. Both my sisters had piano lessons. None of the guys did, but So I just picked up piano by ear.
You did?
And I, yeah.
So you would play for yourself and sing?
Yeah, I wrote songs all growing up.
When you were, how old were you writing songs? 8, 12, 16?
8, yeah. 8, 12, and 16, and now yeah. and I'm and not 16 anymore.
Yeah, okay, still. So you were
And
writing?
My brothers had guitars, so I picked up the guitar and played the guitar, and yeah.
Okay, so essentially what you're describing, it seems, is a boy who was interested in every possible way to express himself.
That's a good way to put it, I think.
You know, you would draw, you would sing, you would play, the piano looks good, the guitar looks good, write a song, write a poem, you know, right? Okay, so what it sounds like is that it wasn't so much that you chose a path as...
The path chose me, I think so.
So do you remember when it winnowed down to... did you, in high school, was there a drama class? Did you join? Were you in plays?
Yeah, I was in all the plays in high school. But even by high school, I knew that this was what I wanted, that I wanted to be an actor.
Okay, back up and let's see if we can figure out when that happened.
That was. I wish I could remember the exact age, but I remember, because I even had like a little, like I had a microscope set. And then I had a little, like, detective kit where it taught you how to take fingerprints and things like that. So I was like, ooh, there were so many little things. But there was a point when I was like, no, if I'm an actor, I can play a scientist. I can play a detective. I can play
whatever. Oh, I love this.
So, and that was early on. I don't remember that exact
moment. But I really get it. You said it a couple
of times.
It
was like 6th or 7th grade, maybe, or somewhere around, oh, well, that's... Puberty, maybe when puberty hit, I was like, oh, this is what I want to
I want to tell you that I've never heard anybody say this, right? But I'm sure that it's the truth, that there were too many things, so you couldn't really choose. So you chose the thing that would allow you to do many of them.
Maybe that sounds right.
It's astonishing.
Yeah.
Because it's true, of course. I don't know that you got to play a detective and you got to play a scientist, but...
Got to play a detective. And a scientist. And you don't have to go to 8 years of school in order to do it. You can just read a script and memorize lines, and there you go.
Yes. But the other thing you said that's kind of interesting to me is you started by saying that you were the youngest of 8 and you were solitary. Acting is not really a solitary career. I mean, you have, you know... The minute you get a job, you're a part of a team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So was that comfortable for you? Did you find that you liked that, or was that not?
Oh, no. Yeah, I love that because after high school, I went to a community college in Western Mass at that time. Their theater program was the second best in the country for community college. So it was right in my backyard. So I was like, oh, I'll do that. And then kind of intending to go on. But after that, I had hooked up with Berkshire Public Theater, which was Berkshire County's only year-round rep company. And I was there for 9 years. So I was a company member there for 9 years. And they're
right out of school.
Yeah. And I still think of them as my family. I mean, you know, every show you always make a little family, but... Being part of a rep company for 9 years, they're still my closest friends, and always think of them as family.
I'm sure. So 9 years, gee. So you didn't ever do advanced training because you didn't have to.
No.
Right. Okay.
No. So, being in the thick of it, like I always think of that as my training, because it was
absolutely.
Like I was the big fish in the small pond, and I was working almost every day for 9 years.
Oh my God. So, well,
and I got to direct and I got to choreograph a little and, you know.
This with virtually no training in directing or choreographing, right?
Being an actor and a performer for so many years, you just pick up
I'm not saying
everything.
You didn't have the skill.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no.
Right?
No, like sitting in class and taking notes and being this is what you're supposed to do, and this is the next step.
No, it's wonderful. So by the time you're 30, you have a resume of all this work, right? Okay, so what happens?
I moved to New York.
Of course you did.
Maybe like late 20s.
Uh-huh.
After, because Berkshire Public Theater unfortunately went under. And so then I moved to New York and decided, yeah, I'm going to do this as a profession for the big time and try to hit the big time. And just auditioning and...
Mm-hmm. And working.
And working. I just knocked wood.
Yes, you did.
For those out there.
You just knocked wood. Is exactly right. Okay, so so how long have you been in New York?
Over 20 years, I believe.
Wow.
I think I moved to New York in 98, maybe.
Yeah, running on 20 years for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, and how has it been?
It's been good. I mean, like I said, it's not an easy life because you're always striving for the next job.
Yeah.
And when I get a job, I like, because some of the people, there's the minute we start the first day of rehearsal, they're already looking for the next job.
Wow.
You know, and I can't do that. Like, when I book a job, especially, and this is a nice contract, it's like 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, those first 3 months, I'm just relaxing and enjoying the show and enjoying my time, and I'm not thinking about
the future, because
I got a job.
Well, yeah, so let's talk about this job, right? Let's talk about Blue Suede Shoes.
Sure.
So tell me, make believe I haven't seen it, which I haven't actually, and nobody else has, so tell me about it.
Blue Suede Shoes, it's great. It's a cabaret kind of celebrating basically the birth of rock and roll. There's a lot of Elvis, but there's a lot of people who influenced Elvis. And
really? Who?
Well, God, I mean, a lot of the, you know, the black, like, rhythm and blues guys that Elvis kind of emulated and listened to.
So are you doing some of that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do a lot of Elvis. I do his first big one that I was going to say steal. He didn't steal it. He borrowed. That's All Right, Mama.
Yeah.
That was his, like, first big one.
Yeah.
So I do that. And I do a lot of later Elvis. Suspicious Minds is a great one. If I Can Dream, that ends the show. That's a great... He debuted that in his 68 comeback special. It was the big finale. And it's the big finale in Blue Suede Shoes.
Wow.
So it's great. It's a great group of artists, and we all play our own instruments and switch back and forth. There's five. There's three guys, two girls.
And what instruments do you play?
In this show, I play guitar and bass.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So you just picked up the guitar, you just picked up the piano, you just picked up the bass. You never had lessons.
Not formal lessons, no. I mean, like on the guitar, you know, I had my brothers kind of show me the chords and, you know.
Can you read?
I know how to read music. Like, it'll take me like 10 minutes to read like a single bar or stanza.
Right.
You kind of figure it out on the piano. I mean, I wish I had that kind of training.
Yes.
On the piano especially, because I think because piano, you're so focused on reading the music, and that just flows over into any other instrument you pick up.
Yeah, no, I know that's true. And I think that what happened to you happens to... talented, spontaneously talented people, is that it came so easy that when you would be studying, you don't think you need to because it's so easy and you can do it without, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe in regrets. Everything happens for a reason. But I think of when I was, you know, my 9 years with Berkshire Public Theater, I was still living at home, you know, so I didn't have a lot of expenses. And
no.
Like I said, I was the big fish in the small pond. I wish, now looking back, I had taken advantage
and
had been in class. Mm-hmm. I should have been in dance class. I should have been in voice class or things like that to prepare me more for New York.
Right, for what you were going to look
for more
later.
Technique, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Because I always moved well, so I never went to dance class.
Right.
And I always thought I was a dancer because I did a lot of dance roles.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
But when I got to New York, those first couple of dance auditions, I was like, oh,
this is
I'm really not a dancer. I just move really well and I can pick up choreography really quick. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the people you were competing against have been studying since they were four.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they knew names of things.
Yes, they knew all the steps.
You know,
right?
Like tap combinations. If you would do the tap combination, I would hear it and be like, ba-da, 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 bop.
Right.
And then I could, if I heard it quickly, I could do it.
Yeah.
But it would be like, you know,
what this name was.
And I was like, I don't know what those names are. Or people who trained, they can pick it up and do it.
Right.
I have to keep hearing it and hear it in my head.
Yeah. And
so just little tricks like that.
Yeah, no, I got it. Okay.
So I do tell people, because we just did a career day a few days ago. The cast went into a high school mm-hmm. and talked about this as a business. And I said, yeah, obviously if you have the drive to go in this business, you already have some talent, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, you should always be, like, try to be in class, try to get the training, try to get the basis for your talent.
So it's interesting, I mean, because given that you didn't really train in anything, you know.
Life is my training ground.
Well, but you have you've done it. So it probably would have been easier for you if you had had some training, but you
I probably would have worked more, maybe.
Or, well, yeah.
I don't want, you never know.
I don't know
you
that that's true.
You never know. It's true.
Right. I don't know like, that that's true. But
yeah.
But given that you didn't, you had a life of it. You had a career of it.
Yeah.
So that's my only other question, which is, having given a life to this work, what would you say about what that's like?
I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing. I mean, I can't imagine doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like when we're on stage and you just look, and especially here in the cabaret, because it's such an intimate spot, you just see the smiles in the crowd and you're like, okay, this is why we do what we do, because we're making these people's evening,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. It's my belief that the motivation for performing, at least in the beginning, has more to do with what this is, what I'm getting from this, how I feel about this.
I think that's true, because we all have egos,
mm.
you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's
I feel like
thing.
I'm on the path to enlightenment, but yeah, I got an ego. So yeah, it's always, because you need, you know, you do those great roles where you try to do like good work, but also you try, like, it's, I'll tell this one story. I just finished, before I came here, I did a production of Bridges of Madison County. And the second to the last song is the big ballad for my character. And I tried, I mean, I was always in the moment, but I always tried, because it was a song about his life and his great love and everything. And I tried to get that one solitary tear rolling down your cheek on the last note. Because, you know, it's easy to be overindulgent and be like, oh, I can cry during this song, but you really don't want to because it's a guy looking back on his life. So there's those little things where it's like kind of ego-driven. You're like, yeah, I'm in the moment, but I want that one tear going. I did it twice in a two-month run, so I was happy with that. But
but it seems to me that what that is that would be perfect for the character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that would be you really being the character. Hmm?
Yeah.
So what I was saying was, you know, that for performers, it's my belief that in the beginning, the draw is this feels so good to do, you know? But if you make your life of it, so many of the people that I've interviewed say something similar to what you said, which is, I can give this away. I
yeah.
can make somebody's evening or life or,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I can make a difference, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, on the stage, it's such an immediate interchange.
Yes.
But I mean, myself being a big TV guy, you know, I get such pleasure from that. And the TV work that I've done, it's like, it's hard to kind of get that feeling because you're 5 o'clock in the morning in front of a camera. But 3 months or a year down the line when it airs, then you know that people are getting that kind of feeling that immediately you get in the theater. So it's the same, but different in
yeah,
the different
yeah, yeah,
medium.
No, I think that's right. Okay, so I just want to ask it again. I want you to think about it, and I want to ask it again. What you would say about having given your life to this work?
All right. I mean, I'm proud. to give my life, to be an actor. And I know that I'm going to do this forever. Like, there's nothing else that I will do. I mean, I write and I, how, but it's always in the arts. So yes. It will always be this. I have no retirement right now, but I know that I will always do this. There's nothing else that I would do. So yeah, like I am. I'm proud to be an actor and to share whatever was given to me by the universe. Yeah. Obviously, these gifts that I can now share to whoever chooses to see me perform.
That's a great place to stop. Thank you so much, Joe.
No, really. Thank you. This is great.
I'm proud to be an actor. I'm grateful to share the gifts I was given. I can't think of anything else I would ever do, even if I can't count on financial security. I know that this is what I will always do. These are the words of someone who knows who he is and is true to himself. And as I said in the run-up, I play these interviews because I hope that you will be inspired to ask yourself, is this how I feel about my life? Am I proud to be the person that I am, to do the things that I do in my life? If it isn't true, please go up on the website and ask me any questions you might have. As always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use, something that inspired you, something that made you laugh, something that'll bring you down to FST to see Blue Suede Shoes, which is not running that much longer, something that will bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station, and as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older, my hair is turning gray, oh, you see my face and figure, I've both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring, I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot, my time has come and gone. Please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly, well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, every chance I get, I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight, no, no. We will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper, I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me I've got